appreciate him coming and sharing with us this morning, and I hope it'll be a real blessing to you as well. And as you know, this is going to be his last week with us here, at least for now. And they're moving away on Wednesday evening. They're moving back to the U.S. Pray for them as they make their way back, that the journey will go well, safe, that they'll settle in nicely again on the other side. And just pray for them during this time. One more thing. At the end of the service today, we're going to invite anyone who would like to give to us a special love offering that we're going to be taking up, just to bless them as they make their way back over, okay? So if you'd like to give to this, at the end of service, we're going to have, is Bong here? We're going to have Brother Bong. We're going to have a couple of men in the back foyer, all right? And if you'd like to give towards this special love offering, please make sure that one of those men in the back foyer gets that offering from you, okay? That'll be at the end of the service. We'll remind you then as well. But right now, I just want to welcome my father, Pastor John Young, to the pulpit, and let's give him a warm IBC welcome, would you?
Love you, son. Oh, thank you. You know, I had stood behind this pulpit for some 20 years, and every time I come in here, it's with fear and trembling. It really is. I take it as a privilege and a blessing to stand before you. And every time I come, I want to impart something to you. I want to leave something with you. I want to leave something that's going to bless your heart and, yes, even change your life. That's what we're here for as pastors. We're here to encourage, to strengthen, to build, to challenge people into faithfulness with the Word of God. And that's really what I seek today. That tale of three trees, I can't go into any details about it, but it's simply about a tale of trees, three trees that have certain ambitions and desires as to what worth and what value they're going to be when they mature. You see, we make many, many awesome things from the wood of the tree. And some things that we make out of the wood are glorious, beautiful, and of great moment. Other things that are made of the wood are not so glorious. But like trees in the story, we have ambitions and desires, we have thoughts, we have plans for our lives. Our text for this morning is from Romans 8 and verse 28. All things work together. And I'll pause there for a minute, because our lives are so complicated. There is so much going on around us. Some of it is in our control. Some of it is totally outside of our control. I don't know how many times I've known people that have gone to university and studied a particular course, graduated, and end up a plumber, or end up an electrician, or do some other kind of work that is totally outside of the realm of what they had planned. All things work together. And life is complicated. There's nothing going on in your life that is not a part of the plan and the scheme that's going to make your life develop into whatever it is that it's going to be. But the Bible tells us here that all things work together for a particular purpose and a particular cause. Certainly, we hear it said quite often, life is good. Life is good. I can say that. My life is good. It's always been good. I've had ups and downs, to be certain. I've had times of great trial and great difficulty when I thought the end was about to come. But my life has been really good. Other times, however, life can be very hard. Life can be very difficult. It can come with a lot of pain and a lot of struggles. Sometimes all we can do is cry out to whoever will listen, "Help me! Help me! I'm sinking! I'm drowning in whatever's going on in my life! Help me!" Like the three trees, our hope and our expectations don't always work out as we had planned. Our plans may go wrong, but we have this from God. All things work together for good. Everything works together for good. Yes, we can point in life where we even question whether God is even good. We go through some struggles. We go through some things that we don't even want to think about today. Is God really good? I can imagine that some would stumble along the way and in Romans 8:28 ask, "All things work together for what?" Where's the good? What is the good? We're now in the first week of December. Christmas is just around the corner. And we have this wow factor working in our lives and families. It's time for toys. It's time for the children to celebrate and enjoy this wonderful time. And it's a wonderful experience for our families. It's a wonderful experience for us. But wait a minute. It doesn't work that way in everybody's life. There is a darkness at this time of the year that a lot of people end up facing. Loneliness, heartache, broken relationships, life just not working out anywhere near like what we had planned. But wait a minute, we've got to remember God's promise is sure, and we can rely on it. All things work together for good. It works together for good. And you remember that as you go through this next year, as you face whatever trials may come your way. In the human experience, life is like a sine wave on an electronic instrument. Okay? It's got its ups and downs. You may be going through a period of a terrible downtrend. Or you may be up on the mountain peak, but it's going to change. Life changes. But God's promises never change. All things work together for good. For whom? First of all, to those who love God. I've been through some experiences in my life that it would have destroyed me if it hadn't have been for the foundation that is laid in my soul, which is the presence of God in my life. Because there is hope. There is always the other side. Jesus told a confused young scholar that asked about what is the greatest commandment. Jesus said, "The greatest commandment is this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind." Because that is the connector of what it means to walk with God. I've known so many Christians that have God on the periphery of their lives. They come to church and they sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But they go out afterward and live their normal, confused, and deceived lives. To those who love God, the answer to a successful Christian experience is to learn to love your father. We find so many Christians that look to the struggles of trying to defeat sin and sinful habits and sinful practices, drive themselves to the law and say, you know, remind ourselves how we should not be stealing, how we should not be talking evil about other people. Drive ourselves to the law. And all we find is more frustration, more brokenness, until we throw up our hands and say, what is the point? No, the answer is to draw close to God, to learn to love God. Jesus said of this particular command, in this, all of the rest are summed up along with the second. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's a common term there, and that is love. Learn to love. Love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Loving man toward anyone is an act of commitment and growth. Okay? It's an act of commitment and growth. At first, love is small. Love is minuscule. Love is just barely there. Love is considered that feeling that we get that makes us excited when we're around the one that we love. When I was a young man, newly married, I loved my wife with all of my heart and soul. 5 years later, I came back and looked at my relationship with her then, and I thought, man, that love was terrible. It was puny. And it has grown so much in these 5 years. 20 years later, I came back and had another look at it, and I thought, wow, I called that love? I didn't know what it was to love. But love grows. Love is a commitment to that growth. To those who love God, there's going to be times of failure. There's going to be times of failure in your life and in your commitment to God and in your commitment to your family. There's going to be times of failure. We need to understand that. We don't throw up our hands and say, well, I'm just a failure and I can't get this right. It's a growing process. I don't know how many times I see young men, young women, and they tell me about their struggles with walking faithfully with Jesus. I said, yes, there's going to be struggles, but you're young. God knows you're young. God knows your commitment and your love for Him is weak. But seek the heart of God and give your heart to Him. That will grow, and you'll find that as it grows, your walk with Him becomes stable and He becomes everything. Your sinful practices become less. There will be times of failure. John tells us in 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, God knows our propensity to fail. He knows our weaknesses. He understands them. But we've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Amen. And there is a remedy. All He wants of us is to recognize that God is God and He loves us. And when I'm struggling with living for Him, it's because my love for Him is weak. God understands it. Develop the love. Grow the love. Pray, God, teach me to love You. God's grace is forgiving grace. This is part of our devotion to God. It is a growing love. Secondly, first of all, He talks about those who love God and those who are called. Those who are called. Paul said to the heathen of Greece, they were groping to discover God, and they had many gods that they considered worthy of worship, not so much because they were devoted to them, but because they were afraid of them and they were struggling. And Paul said to them, truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked. That is before Jesus came. And people were groping and struggling, and they didn't have a very clear path. At the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now that Jesus has come, he commands all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17:30. Men are commanded to repent, but few do. Those who do are the called. Those who do are those that Jesus died to redeem. But he told us to go out and increase that number of the called. They are the elect, okay? The elect. A lot of people get hung up on that word. The elect, being called, being that special one. The Apostle Paul is so clear in that text when he tells us that the elect are those who have accepted God's election plan. His election plan was for Jesus Christ, his son, to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins that we could never repay. That's God's plan. That is his election. The elect are those who have embraced God's plan and trusted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. The Bible tells us in John 5:24 that the called in Christ have everlasting life. It'll never change. Once you've been born into God's family, nothing can change that. In John 5:24, Jesus says, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life. That is a very present tense verb. He has it. He has what? Everlasting life. Everlasting life has no beginning and it has no end. You see, the everlasting life that you enter into didn't begin when you trusted Jesus. It only began for you when you trusted Jesus. But when you're in Christ, there is no beginning and there is no end. That is the life that you have. And if you're afraid somehow that you can fall out of grace and do something to displease God to the extent that you're no longer in the family, then it wasn't everlasting life that he gave you. You can call it something else, but it wasn't everlasting life. The truth is that everlasting life is the life of God himself. And when we trusted Jesus, we have entered into that life. And that's why I urge you, if you're here today and you're struggling with sin and you're struggling with concepts of being connected to God, you simply need to understand what it means to be born that second time. It's a new life. That life isn't a commodity. It's not something that God reaches into his pocket and pours out to people. It's his own life. And when you trust Jesus, you leave your life in Adam and you enter into the life of God. That's a hard concept to develop with just simply human reasoning. That's why we have the Word of God. And the Word of God is true. The Word of God can be trusted. We can depend on it. The Bible says Jesus understood these things. He understood heartache. He understood hardship. Jesus understood deprivation. He understood all of these things. He experienced them. The Bible says Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus, in his human condition, he grew, he understood, and he understands where you are. He understands your hurt. He understands what you're going through. And he understands the weakness of your love toward him. Every day I begin my day, God, show me how to love you more. God, show me how to draw closer to you and your heart. When I struggle with something sinful going on in my head, God, teach me how to love you. Draw my heart to you. Because trying to fight against it is a losing proposition. Draw near to God. Love God. You know, I use the illustration with family. Family is a good way to illustrate it. We raise our sons, we raise our daughters. We want them to be good people. We want them to be godly people. And we do all that we can to do that. But there's one thing that will truly make it happen. When we try to correct, admonish, guide, and lead our children, the only connection that'll make it work isn't discipline, isn't getting a bigger stick, but it's loving the kids. Having a heart, a devotion for one another. Because a son who loves his dad is not going to strike out against his dad. But if the love is not what it ought to be, that's when rebellion comes. And I only use this as a human illustration in our relationship with God. What we need is to learn to love God. Jesus grew as a man. A large part of those things working together for good to those who are called are simply part of the human condition which God uses to build us up, not tear us down. God will let you go through fiery trials. God will bring you some horrible experiences, not to hurt you, not to punish you, but to teach you, to make you strong. We always use the illustration of the strength of steel, the strength of metal. And the only way to make metals really strong is put them through fire. Put them through the heat. Turn the heat up. And when the heat is up in your life and you're hurting and you feel like you're suffering and where is God? Remember, he's right there. He will never leave you. He will never, never forsake you. And you're going to come through on the other side much stronger in Christ. It's now God's intention to bring us into conformity to the image of his Son. That's what he's doing. He is seeking to draw you to be like Jesus. Now let me tell you something. That is a journey. It's not a destination. You're never going to get to a point where you're going to be able to say, well, man, I've arrived. Now I'm just like Jesus. No, you're not going to get there. It's a journey, and it's going to take place all of your life. And his purpose is to bring you into conformity to the image of his Son. I mean, he wouldn't have said that if that wasn't his purpose. And truly, it is. We know that all things work together for those, for good to those who are called. It's simply a part of the human condition. Look what Paul says in Philippians 3, chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Paul says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. Now, let's just bring this into focus here. When he is saying this, he's at the end of his life. He's ready to be delivered to the executioner. He has finished his course. He's done just about all he can do. He spent I don't know how many years there in the prison in Caesar's household, but he took every advantage. He witnessed to the soldiers, brought many to Jesus. But he says, it's not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on. I press on. That word perfected, I want to emphasize, because sometimes we get the wrong idea. The Bible says, be ye perfect because I am perfect. He's not trying to tell you that you're going to, if you strive right, you'll be without sin. He doesn't say that. He's saying you will become what I intended for you to be in the first place. God intends for you to have a relationship with Him, to trust Him, to walk with Him, and to be His child. Perfection doesn't mean you're somehow going to never sin again. No, don't look for that. Brethren, I do count myself to have apprehended. I do not count myself to have apprehended. I haven't gotten there yet, he says. I'm not finished. But I do, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting the weaknesses, forgetting my failures, forgetting some of the other hardships that I've experienced, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. What we're dealing with here is an attitude, guys, an attitude. And God wants us to develop an attitude that God is God and we're not. God is in control and God has a purpose. That purpose is to mature you. He understands your weaknesses. That's not an excuse to enjoy your weaknesses. It's only a reminder that God is God and He has given something special to you to strive for. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ. One day, He's going to take me up to be with Him. One day, I'm going to finish this course. I'm going to finish my race. And I will rest and enjoy His presence for all eternity. But in the meantime, you know, it's wonderful to be thinking about the wonderful, sweet by and by. But right now we're living in the nasty now and now. Okay? Let's press toward the prize. Let's keep our focus where it needs to be. Now the term for all of this is simply this, spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. Christian maturity. Okay? Growing up. And if you've been a Christian for 5 years and you are focusing on the many failures that you have had, you're going to get beat up pretty bad. Okay? You need to understand that the approach to the failures is to confess your sins, God has forgiven them, and He is working in your life. Paul says in Philippians 1, verses 3 through 6, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Take hope. God has begun a good work in you. Hang on to that. Don't let it go. And when things are tough, when things are hard and you're discouraged, hang on to it. He will complete the work that He has begun in your life. Trust Him. God has a purpose for you. He does have a purpose for your life. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah says, speaking of God, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not evil. Thoughts to give you a future and a hope." God has a plan for you. He loves you. And you as a church, IBC, He thinks of you. He thinks of you collectively. He thinks of you as a body, and He cares for the church. If you're bold enough to dream big dreams, He's going to give you great things. If you develop big plans and you call upon God, some of those plans, He'll say, "No, that's not mine. This is mine." You know, he doesn't just give you everything that you want, but He always gives you everything that you need. But if you have no dreams, if you have no goals, where are you going to go? You're not going anywhere. Okay? We've got to dream big dreams. We've got to be ready to lengthen our cords and strengthen our stakes so that we might be able to be used by God to do great and awesome things. Don't get comfortable. Don't get lazy. It's nice to see a room full of people. I can remember those days when if we had 25, we were doing pretty good. Okay? And fill this room twice. It's great. It's an amazing thing. But don't let it let you get lazy. Dream big, because God can do so much more. Dream big. We need to plant more churches. Dream big. God is calling young men into ministry. Dream big. There's so much more that God can do. God desires to do if we will not hinder Him through our small thinking. Whether you realize it or not, IBC is not just about Howick anymore. It's not just about Howick anymore. It's not just about South Auckland. It's about Auckland. And there's people all over this place. They may not know who you are and what you believe, but they know this church. They know this building. Everywhere I go, you know, all I have to do is identify, you know, that building on the corner with the flags flying. Oh, yeah, yeah, we know that. Now it's time that they get to know who we are. Okay? Let's stretch out. Let us strengthen those stakes. And let us let God fulfill His plan and His purpose. What's God's plan and purpose for IBC? I can't tell you. I can't tell you. But I am convinced that your limitations are only the limitations of your own makings. Because God is a great God. I'm not a fan of humanistic power of positive thinking. I am not at all. But I do know this, negative thinking isn't going to get you anywhere. I am one who believes that with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Okay? Doesn't mean everything you ask for you're going to get. God's more concerned about what you need than what you want. I remember in 1984, standing on the corner of Picton and Wellington Street. We had already determined we were going to start the church, and I was standing on the corner of Picton and Wellington, and I was looking over at Howick Baptist Church. What a fine facility they were. I'd drive by on Sunday morning, and the people were filling into the place. I wasn't envious of them, but it gave me a dream. It gave us a plan. And in those early stages of my life and ministry, that plan wasn't real sharp, but it gave me a vision. And it gave us something to shoot for. Someone said, "You can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs." Some of the things we do, they're not going to work. Some of the things we try, we're going to be disappointed in. But dream big and let God fulfill as he desires. Dr. Oswald Smith of People's Church in Toronto, Canada, many years ago, developed a motto which was, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. And that ought to be our goal. That ought to be our desire. We can trust God. He will never let us go. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. God has a plan. He has a plan for you as an individual. I don't know what his plan is, but I do know this. He's a great and awesome God. He loves you more than you can possibly imagine. Don't make IBC that comfortable place where you come in and sit down on Sunday and say, there, I've done my thing for God. No, Christian faith is not something you do once a week. It's a lifestyle. It's Christ in you. It's living it out. It's opening yourself and saying, God, here I am. Here I am. Use me. Use me today. Use me to be a blessing to someone. Use me, Father, to do whatever it is that you choose today. I am yours. I never forget to remind us that God is bigger than any of us. And he has great plans. There's so much that he wants to do. Who can he use? Who can he send? And who's going to go? Who's going to open his heart and open his life and say, God, I am yours? Before I finish, I just want to go back to that one thought earlier, though. Who are those who have, well, put their faith in him? Who are they? So many of you here today, you have trusted Jesus. There may be some that are here investigating. There may be some who have approached the warmth and beauty of the fellowship here in IBC and desired that warmth and fellowship, but have never come to Jesus Christ through the cross. Through the cross. There is no other way. We don't become members of IBC because we raised our hand and said, me, I want to be part. You've got to come through the cross of Jesus. The cross of Jesus is his death and suffering because of my sins. We can't overlook the fact that we are sinful. That's why Jesus died on the cross. We are sinners. We are without hope. And so he came. And he is our hope. If you have trusted Jesus, what an awesome thing. But if you're here today and you've never come through the cross of Jesus, and I don't want to make it a confusing thing. Pastor will explain those things to you. He has. But you've got to recognize the sinful nature of our lives, because that's what crucified Jesus. I crucified Jesus. You crucified Jesus. He died because of us. Let's stand. I'm going to ask Pastor to come and bring the invitation. Ken.
If you just bow your head and close your eyes for a few moments. This is our time that we respond back to the Lord after hearing from Him, after hearing from His Word. God's Word is sharp, it's powerful. His Word does what He has purposed it to do. And this morning, you've heard what God wanted you to hear. You've heard from the Word. Now, will you respond to Him? How will you respond to Him? We've been reminded of this simple truth that all things work together for good to those who love God, who know Him, have that relationship, to those who are called according to His purpose, those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Life is in His hands. You belong to Him. And maybe you try to take it back again and you try to do things your way. But the Bible says all the things that happen in your life, the things that God allows in your life, it's for your good. It's for His glory, His purpose. And so this morning I invite you, my brothers and sisters, to go to the Lord. And with a heart of thankfulness and praise, say, "Thank you, Lord. And I claim this promise this morning that all things are working together for good, for your purpose and your glory in my life. And I bow my knee, I yield myself to you and your purpose." Is there any here who may be struggling with your own salvation? Maybe you have thought being a part of the Lord's family, being a Christian, is just putting your hand up saying, "I'll be a Christian now." And that's not it. You must come through the cross. You must come His way, believing that He died for your sins. And with a heart of repentance, say, "God, I confess my sins, my desperate need to you. I leave my sins before you. And I ask you to save me, to forgive me." Have you done that? Is that your testimony? Can you say, "There has been a time in my life that I've come to the cross in faith and I believed"? If not, this invitation is also for you. Father, I pray that your work would be done, that your Spirit would move in us. Draw people to Jesus Christ, I pray, in Jesus' name. So for just the next few moments, the invitation is open. Whatever your need is, come. If you want to spend some time with the Lord, come. If you want to talk with somebody, just come and let me know. And have someone pray with you, share with you the Word. Would you come? Just a few moments where we are. Come. So, Father, we thank you for these things that we have heard this morning. We thank you for this promise that we will claim and say, "Lord, we will know that all things work together for good." So, Father, we claim this and we trust in you. Draw all to Jesus Christ today through everything that is done in this place, we pray, in Jesus' name. Please be seated for a few moments. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor John, for the message this morning. God bless you and Miss Young and your journeys overseas, don't forget, at the end of the service time, there will be the ushers right in the back, and that's where we'll be taking up the love offering. So if you would like to give to that, then you can put it right in the love offering, and everything that you give will go to Pastor John and his wife, Janet. For our announcements, our bulletins on the inside pages, we are going to be having a prayer time here in just a few moments at the end of the worship service for those who have graduated or finished up their school, whether it's university or a certificate or a diploma program or high school, college. If you finish that up, then we would like for you to come up here in just a few moments at the end of the service where we're going to have a prayer time. There's some in the back that perhaps will also need to be up here, but they're in the back with meetings and things. So if maybe someone, one of the deacons, can go back and just round up some of those in the back who need to be here for the prayer time as well. We have a Youth Versus Parents Family Fun Day. That's coming up on Saturday, the 10th of December at Barry Curtis Park, and that's at 10 o'clock. So Josh, you're going to say a few words about that? He's brought our trophy, the parents' trophy.
So, this is the prize for the Parents Versus Teens Day. It is quite a nice trophy. So, if you would like to be a part of it, it's next Saturday at 11 o'clock, and it's open to any of the youth who are a part of IBC and their parents and families. So, if you're members of IBC and you're a teen and you have family, more than welcome to come down and have some friendly rivalry between our parents and the teens. So come at 11 o'clock prepared for some fun. I'm not sure what the weather's going to be like, so just dress in like outdoor type of game sort of gear. But also as well, the most important thing to remember is to bring food, okay, for your families for lunch. All right, so if you guys want to have your names and parents engraved on this, come and beat the teens, okay?
So thanks for that, Josh. If it's rainy and wet, we're still going to do it anyway, right? Even if it's raining. So that'll be good. Just come dressed and we'll have a mud fight and play in the mud. That'll be fun. Next Sunday morning, we have a baptismal service. It's going to be during the 10 o'clock hour. So we have a couple of people who is ready to be baptized, and perhaps there's someone else that we don't know about that has trusted the Lord and you would like to be baptized. Come and see Pastor Ken about that. We may be able to work it in on this time, or we may have to wait till the next time. The Christmas program you have as an insert to your bulletin, you have the schedule that's up, and it gives the dates just like we kicked off with things today. And then on the 11th and the 18th, remember the 18th is the day where we have the combined service at 11 o'clock, so there's no early morning service on the 18th, only the 11 o'clock service, and it'll be that way for the next 5 weeks after that. For our missions, we're continuing to pray for our missionaries whose letters are posted in the back. OMF, the Overseas Missionary Fellowship, that's the one that we're praying for specifically this week, so as often as you can, pray for them. And then, of course, as we mentioned just a moment ago, Pastor John and Janet, pray for them as well as they make their way back to Texas. Continue to pray for them. See them at the end of the service as well, and just let them know of your appreciation for them. So I think that's all of the announcements for the morning. Before we do the graduation prayer time, we'd like to recognize those who are having birthdays and anniversaries. Anyone having a birthday this coming week? Anyone celebrating a birthday in this coming week? Any birthdays? Anyone with a birthday? How about wedding anniversaries? Anyone celebrating a wedding anniversary for this coming week? Come on up, Damien and Una. Come on up, Damien, Una. Is this year number three? Four. Year number four for Damien and Una. God bless you. Let's all stand together. We're going to sing happy anniversary to Damien and Una. And then we'll ask you to be seated after that, and we will have a prayer time. Let's all sing together. Happy anniversary. All right, you can be seated. Now, this past Friday night, we had a graduation here at the church for the Baptist Training College, those who have been participating. And we had four from IBC who have finished at various, some of the 2 year, and some have finished an extra third year as well. So I know, I saw Ben. Ben is here. So Ben, would you like to come on up? And Ben has finished not only the 2 year program earlier, he finished the third year theology. So Ben, come on up. Bernard and Helen, both Bernard and Helen. Helen was not feeling well on Friday night during the graduation, but she's made it in today. So Bernard and Helen have each finished not only the 2 year, but they finished the third year theology program as well. Now, the other one that's a part of the Baptist Training College is Jojo San Diego, but Jojo's not here today. The life group has been traveling out for a life group function. So we have these who have graduated the Baptist Training College. Now, also, we have some in our congregation that have completed university, whether you've completed your bachelor or your master's, or some who have completed certificate programs, diplomas, and things of that sort. So anyone that's completed beyond high school, come on up now. If you've completed your university, your certificate, or a diploma program in something, come on up now. You guys come on up right on over on this side. Just come right on over to this side. So these are some that have completed university training or certificate or diploma programs. So God bless you all. Thank you for coming up. And then also we have some who have completed high school or college, high school. So those who have completed high school and college, come on up here as well. Joseph and Catherine, so come right on up here to the front. So we're so proud of each of you, those who have completed the Baptist Training College, those who have completed university and high school. And what we would like to do is just spend a moment in prayer, and we're going to ask you as a congregation to pray with us as we lead this time of prayer. Pastor Ken is going to come. Pastor Ken, would you like to come? And maybe we'll do this. I'll have Pastor Ken to pray with this group here of the Baptist Training College, and then I'll offer up a prayer for you guys that the Lord would use you each as you go out into this next part of your life. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, as we come to you, we thank you for these who have completed their university, their high school. Lord, you know what the steps that lie ahead of them. So we ask that, Lord, you would direct their paths, that you would stay close to them as they are close to you. Our prayer is that they would follow you and wherever you would lead them, and that through this time, Lord, that you would be the one who ministers to their heart, that you would challenge them in their spirit, and that you would keep them humble, Lord, as they take these steps of life. May they look unto you and serve you with all of their heart, all of their soul, all of their mind, everything that they have. May they surrender themselves as a living sacrifice as they worship you and as they serve you. So, Lord, our prayer is that you would direct them, bless them. Thank you, Lord, for the time that you have encouraged their hearts through this great accomplishment in their life. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. God bless you all. And Pastor Ken is going to pray for our Baptist Training College graduates.
Let's pray again. My Father, I lift up these three and Brother Jojo as well, who have finished a course, Lord, that we have laid out before them. They have been diligent. They have worked and studied hard. But Lord, I pray that you would just bless their life and the ministries that you direct them to and lead them to from this point on, that they would use all that they have learned for your glory to build up and edify believers and to strengthen them. Lord, I just pray that you would empower them and lead them, Lord, by the Holy Spirit. We thank you for these in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give them all a good round of applause. God bless you all. Thank you. Anything else, Pastor Mike? That's it? All right. We've already prayed, so you guys are now dismissed, and we're going to begin Bible studies in just a few minutes, so be sure to get a drink and have some fellowship and be back in here. God bless you. Oh, this one. This one still has a pop and a hiss once in a while.